You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with No More Curse.
You know, what happens, you get to a certain point of success in your life based upon how other people evaluate success, whether that's success in your marriage, success in your finance, success in a ministry. And people want to come to you and they want to sit down with me and they want me to give them step one, two, three. Now, Pastor, show me how you grew this church. Now, I can give them some stuff. I'm looking, I don't know how this happened. God that gave us the wisdom. We got people come to our conferences. May come to SWATA conference. He said, okay, I'm gonna do that. And we always, you know, when in certain ministries, you know, you're always gonna have people just come and look and just want to copy. You don't need to copy, you need the wisdom of God. Because what worked here may not work there. Pastoring a church like this is different than pastoring a different kind of church. Pastor Dollar said he always thought he needed a degree in theology. He said the more black folks came to church, see, I realized I need a degree in Negroology. We some special people. You got to know how to deal with us. You need the wisdom of God. Whatever you got to do. Raising your children. You need the wisdom of God for your child. People always trying to give you wisdom for your child. Need to beat them. Like if you beat them anymore, they're going to come get you. You got to do something else. You need wisdom. God, what do I do with this child? I don't try to whip him. Amen. I discovered it's always easy to tell somebody to whip their child. Let me see you whip yours. See, you have nothing invested. You know, you see, now I would kill that child. You wouldn't kill your child. Why are you going to kill that child? That's called murder. Everybody say, I need the wisdom of God. So the blessed person guides his affairs with discretion. He has the wisdom of God. It's the ability to make good choices. Come on, confess and say, thank you, Lord. I'm blessed. I have the ability to make good choices. You've heard me say this before. Woman says, I tell you, every man I get with, he beat me. My first boyfriend beat me. My second boyfriend beat me. My fiance beat me. Then I got married one time. My first husband beat me. My second. And then, you know, I'm getting get married right now. And he's trying to beat me. Do you have a sign on your face that says beat me? Or do you have a bad chooser? Some of y'all, your chooser is broken. And you keep making the same choices over and over again, expecting different results, but you're making the same choices. I was talking to someone the other day. They were telling somebody, you need to understand this. It is okay just to have money in the bank. See, some of y'all, that's revelation right there. That's revelation. I know it's revelation because I know how some of y'all think. My daughter said to me one time, this was 7 years ago. I said, Kendra, don't spend all your money. Don't spend it. She said, well, isn't that what money's for? That's what she said. That's what money's for? See, if you think money's just to spend, you'll never have money in the bank. And know what I've discovered? The worst kind of people is unwise faith people. People who believe God but keep making bad decisions and think because you believe God, it's going to work out all right. The prodigal son, the father did not curse him. It wasn't merely because of the famine in the land. Read the scriptures, Luke 15. He spent all he had. Then the famine came. It wasn't the famine that caused him to have no money. He had no money to go through the famine. See, y'all, did that go over your head? I told y'all we got children's church, right? The prodigal son made bad decisions. Why are you praying? Why are you running? Why are you bucking? Why are we quickening? And there's a time and place for all that. Pat Francis told you the other night, don't shut your mind off. You got to make good decisions. God gives you money. You got to make good decisions with the money. God gives you children. You got to make good decisions regarding your children, how you raise your children. You know, I wasn't involved in a lot of athletic activity and all that. I told you I tried out for everything, made the team, and then I would quit before the first game. And I didn't have parents or people encourage me to do it. I made the swim team. I made the baseball team. I made the tennis team. Made the basketball team. And I'll quit. I'll go to all practice and I quit for the first game. Well, the reason why, and somebody said, well, what's wrong with you? I'm going to explain why. It was too much pressure on a brother. I went to an all-white school. And I was the black kid on the team. So you know they expect me to carry the team, right? Especially playing basketball. Give it to her. She better not give it to me. Too much pressure on a brother. And I knew that everybody was going to be looking at me. So I would quit. And so as a result of that, I didn't have a whole lot of appreciation for athletics. My wife did. And so there were times I wanted to take my kids out of sports and stop them from doing different things. And I remember when they went to private school, the headmaster of private school said, he said, we discovered that our student athletes get better grades than the non-student athletes. Well, how is that? Because, you know, my mom was like, you need to put that ball down and focus on these books. That's what you need to be doing. And though he explained to me, he said that children need discipline in their time. And as a result of knowing I got practice here, knowing I got to study here. So they end up managing their time better because they have pieces of time that they know I got to do this. I got to be in practice here. I got to write the paper here. I have lunch here. You follow me? Versus having a lot of free time to not manage. Well, that gave me wisdom. Are y'all understanding what I'm telling you? You need wisdom about how to raise your children. You need wisdom to understand that when your children act up in school, don't tell them you ain't going to Epic. You ain't going to Epic tonight. You're not going to go to children's church tonight. We're going to help them get right. You need wisdom in knowing how to discipline. So you perpetuate the blessing or you perpetuate the curse based upon choices. Everybody say choices. Man, y'all always bring so much more out of me. Whether you live under the curse based upon blessing. Go back to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. This is God's way of saying, now I'm going on record. I'm telling you. There have been times I've told people things and even my own children. And I said, now I'm just going to go on record. I know you're going to do what you're going to do because you have freedom of choice. But I'm going on record that I told you this. So when it happens, it won't be like you have no counsel. So God goes on record. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I'm going on record that I have set before you what? Life and death. What else? Blessings and cursings. So God said, I've set before you life and blessings. And I've also set on death and curses. The reason why I said it that way, because life and blessings is on the positive side, the blessing side. Death and cursing is on the curse side. And then he says, therefore, he said, I know it's hard to choose. It's hard for you to make a decision between life and death. It's hard for you to make a decision between blessing and cursing. God, I know some of y'all, that's a little tough decision. Keep on reading, y'all. He gave you the answer. Therefore, choose what? Choose life that thou and thy seed may live. I keep telling you, it's bigger than you, boo. You and your seed. Everything that comes after you. All your children, your descendants, your grandchildren. If you will make wise decisions, God said, you will perpetuate the blessing from generation to generation. So choose life. That tells me I can choose to be blessed. I can choose to be cursed. I can choose life. I can choose death. So what's the first choice I got to make? The first choice I got to make is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I got to make the choice to get born again. I got to make the choice that I can't live this life without Jesus. I got to make the choice to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, since he's the one who came to free me from the curse. According to Galatians 3, 19 and verse, let's start at verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us, paid a price for us, bought us from the curse of the law. All those things I started enumerating and the things that I didn't. And by the way, when you read Deuteronomy, there's some other ones out there that's not listed. Because it says this. He said, and all the others that are not listed in this book. So when I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, it says he's redeemed me from the curse of the law when he was made a curse for me. For it's written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. Why did he do that? Watch this. I want you to see this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Don't go past that word might. Jesus Christ became a curse for you, died on a cross for you, that you might get the blessing. What might means is contingent upon something. So the blessing is available for you. The life-giving power of God on your life, the wealth-producing, sorrow-reducing power of God is available for you. But Jesus died that you might, that it might come on the Gentiles, those who were not blood descendants of Abraham, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through what? Through faith. Faith means what? I got to believe it. So Jesus died for me to have it, but now I got to believe it and receive it. So Jesus, by the grace of God, makes salvation available. Your faith makes it accessible. We access the blessing by faith. We access the promises when we believe it. We access it when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. So when we receive Jesus, another way, we receive life. That's why we call it being born again. Are y'all with me here? Now, this may seem elementary, but you got to get this. You got to understand that when God saved you, he didn't just help you to get a do not go to hell pass. He didn't just give you fire insurance when he saved you. When he saved you, he gave you the life of God back in you. He gave you access to the tree of life. So watch this. So, okay, let's say all the right side here of the cross represents the blessing and all the left side represents the curse. Picture that axis that we learned when we first learned positive numbers and negative numbers. So we all the positive numbers on this side. We got all the negative numbers on this side. Listen, the deeper you've been in sin and the longer you've been away from God and the more you've been walking away from God, you over here, let's just say you're negative 100. Now you get saved. And now you're at negative 90. Now you're negative 80. Now you're negative 70. Okay? The curse starts decreasing. And the blessing of God starts showing up more and more in your life. And see, the devil's trying to make you think ain't nothing happening. No, child, you've been in this thing for a while. It's going to take a while for this blessing to really get activated in your life. But you got to keep doing the word. You got to keep confessing the word. And you got to keep living this life. Thank God for supernatural debt cancellation. But most of us, you didn't get in debt overnight. And it's possible you might not get out overnight. It doesn't mean you're not going to get out. If it don't happen today, it's going to happen tomorrow. If it don't happen tomorrow, it's going to happen next day. If it don't happen next week, it's going to happen the following week. If it don't happen this month, it'll happen next month. But I keep working the word, and things are getting better and better. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not appear what we shall be. God's still working on you. Things are getting better all the time. Glory to God. Somebody say that. Say, things are getting better all the time. Watch it. Because once I got saved, now I got the life-giving force of God in me. And I start getting on a positive side rather than the negative side. Romans 8, 1 and 2. I'll get to one point in this service. Romans 8, 1 and 2. It says there's now no condemnation. Watch this. Condemnation. Let me give you another word for another definite combination here. Condemnation. Romans 8, 1, there's therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation is the death sentence of the curse. We all had a death sentence on us. We were on our way to hell. We were dying every day, getting deeper and deeper and further away from God until you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. But now there's no more death sentence to them who are in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Who walk not after the flesh. The flesh is what you want to do, how things feel to you. Watch this. What's natural to you. See, a lot of people, they go, man, well, this is just natural to me. Yeah, sin can come pretty natural. When you're born in sin, it's natural to sin. It's just natural to me. I know it's natural, but the blood is supernatural. Hallelujah. And you need to stop walking in the flesh and walk after the Spirit. The Spirit is supernatural. Well, I just cuss. I ain't trying to cuss. It's just I just naturally cuss. Well, let God supernaturally get a hold of your tongue. Amen. Which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So once I get born again, I've got to make a decision to walk after the Spirit, to obey the impulses of my born again spirit. So my flesh says, cut them. Spirit of God said, just walk away. Flesh said, no, come back, cut them. Spirit of God said, listen, let me handle that. I got that. And so I got to choose. Everybody say, I choose to obey my spirit rather than obey my flesh. Watch it. For the law of the, then verse 2 says, for the law of the spirit of life. The law of the spirit of what? Of life. The law of the spirit of what? Life. The life is the blessing. The law of the blessing in Christ Jesus makes me free from the death sentence, the law of sin and death. So now I got the life of God in me. And I don't have to do everything the devil tells me to do. I don't have to smoke everything the devil tells me to smoke. I don't have to say everything the devil tells me to say. I don't have to sleep with anybody the devil tells me to sleep with. Oh my God, because I have been delivered from the law of sin and death. And I got the life of God operating me now. I now operate by the law of the spirit, the principles of the spirit, rather than this law of every time I feel something, I do it and then I regret it. Go to James, the first chapter. This is reviewed for many of us. But let's see how this law of sin and death works. That another word for that law is the principle, the rule, the law of sin and death. James, the first chapter, verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, or God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. Say, God does not use evil to tempt you. That's what it's saying there. He said, for God does not use evil to tempt you, neither does he tempt any man. He said, but this is how temptation comes about. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his what? Own lust. If you've been in this church for any length of time, you got a paper Bible, you got that circle. Own lust. Everybody say own lust. That means it's yours, you got to own it. Or own up to it. You got to own that this is your issue. Everybody don't have the same issue. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood, she had an issue of blood. Some people got other issues. Okay? Every man typically is drawn away of his own lust. That means there are things in your flesh that you got to recognize, because the devil knows your appetite. And you need to know your appetite. How many of y'all try to discipline yourself when you go to restaurants and not have dessert? Come on. And say, you say, I'm not having dessert. Oh, y'all just eat everything. I just thought we had some disciplined folks around here. Yeah. No, I'm getting my dessert. But Pastor Marsh and I, really, we very seldom have dessert. But if you want to discipline yourself, not have dessert, you have to tell them when they get ready to bring. No, don't bring that out. If you're going to discipline yourself not to have dessert, they say, do you need to see a dessert menu? Your answer will be no. If you're not going to have it, you don't need to see it. I'm trying to show you how not to sin. If you're not going to eat it, then don't see it. Well, I'm just going to look at the menu. No, don't look at the menu. The devil knows what to put on your menu. Every man tempted when drawn away of his own lust. That means there's some stuff that tempt you that don't tempt me. There's some stuff that can tempt me that don't tempt you. You got to know your own lust. When I was in high school, you know, we used to take showers after gym. We had to take gym several times a week. I remember when I was in high school. I don't know if they do that today, okay? But we had gym several times a week, a couple times a week. And we always took showers afterwards. And, you know, and we go in the boys' shower. And it was just one big long, you know, everybody standing there together. You know, everybody's washing it. And, you know, and the guys, they're washing and bending over. And I assure you, I was 13, 14, 15, 16. I never saw a guy bend over and I said, ooh. He better not bend over like that again. He can shout in front of me all day. I just mind my own business. Why? Because that's not my issue. It's not my issue. Some people, that is the issue. If that's your issue, you need to know that's your issue. Once you know your issue, you make a decision to guard your own self from your issue. Well, I sin every day. Why? Are you making, you know what the Bible says? It says give no opportunity to the flesh. Make no provision to the flesh. Okay? If you know every time you see her, she make you a cuss. Don't see her. Joseph. We often talk, I go back to Joseph, because you know, Joseph was the first victim of sexual harassment. You know one before him? What's sexual harassment? Doing your job and somebody trying to hook up with you. He was doing his job and Mrs. Potiphar kept coming in, lie with me, lie with me, lie with me. First day came in, she had a tattoo here. Next day came tattoo. Next day she had a tattoo here. Lie with me. And the Bible says Joseph refused her. Didn't say he refused her because she was too big, too small, too light, too yellow, too dark. He said he refused her. He said, I can't do this wickedness and sin against God. So when she came in the room, he went out the room. He didn't make provision for his flesh. The devil knows just how you like him. Sometimes when you see somebody look perfect, you got to know that's the devil. That's the devil. That right there, that's the devil. That's the devil. Devil knows exactly how you like it. And everything's supposed to be 80-20. Supposed to be something you don't like, something you got to deal with. But everything right, that's the devil right there. So look at this. Let me finish this. Tell myself, we ain't holding you up. Tell me, let me finish.
God's original intention for mankind was for man to live a blessed life with peace and prosperity. While the curse brings about confusion and discord, God's plan for salvation is to redeem his people. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains how the curse can be reversed from your life once and for all. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for No More Curse. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. in Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.